When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Forever Dog!
It's an improv suicide.
Oh, no, you're not alone. You're on an improv team.
You're on a Harold team.
Do you think David Bowie, in the time when he lived in New York, was ever just like, ever asked Iman if he should sign up for an improv class?
Oh, there's no question. In fact, I'd be surprised if he, I don't know, like part of me feels like he must have done, he must have gotten really, maybe Iman like pulled the rug out from under him at one point. He's like already registered. He's like level 101 with Betsy Stover, like five to eight at Chelsea Studios, whatever it is. And then Iman was like, at like 4:30, she was like, there's a leak. The toilet's broken. And then you see in her hand is like a wrench. And it looks like the toilet was just like wrenched to death. Like she just took the top off of the toilet with a wrench. So the lid fell off.
I have to do my improv class.
It's an emergency. It's an emergency.
Okay, I guess I can't. And then he just has to stay, and she's just like, boy, oh boy, dodged a bullet on that one. That he's not in an improv class with a bunch of 23-year-olds suddenly being like David Bowie's trying to do a scene, and then some kid just goes in front like, and now we're on the moon, and the Darth Vader's coming down the street. And then like, David Bowie trying to do like this very subtle thing.
Yeah.
Like very.
He's like, Edna, I don't know if yes, and I do have diarrhea. What do you think of them apples?
I like them apples, and I don't like apples.
And you don't like them oranges?
I like them orange. I like oranges and them orange. I like apples. I don't like chomping into an apple. I like sliced apples.
So when you chomp into an apple, do you feel like a horse?
Feel partly it's because it makes me feel like a horse, and partly because I keep picturing my teeth just sticking out of that thing. Like somehow there's just like chomp.
You mean that you're going to lose them?
Yeah.
How many of your teeth are real at this point?
Two. Just the two front the two front choppers are real.
The bugs bunnies. Ones, yeah.
Those will always be real. Everything else I've had replaced numerous times.
So you're afraid of biting in there and then losing your two Bugs Bunnies?
I'm afraid of chomping into that thing and then looking and seeing like my teeth being like a Joe Biden kind of like rat, like teeth, like you wind up and they go, because that's,
so you're afraid of looking back at the apple and having it smile back at you.
Yeah. I don't want the apple saying anything back to me and go something like, an apple a day keeps your teeth away.
In my own face.
Yeah. They're my teeth now. And then now I'm dealing with a weird, mischievous apple.
And then you have to feed, you have to feed the apple. The apple's like, I fed you, now feed me.
Yeah. And then I'm like, hey, give me my teeth, because all my teeth are on the apple.
Well, what are the other ones made out of? Mostly pebbles, or are there any like
the other what? Fake teeth or the
I'm
in
just
my
wondering
mouth?
What yeah.
Some of them are kind of just like I have a rock polisher that I kind of put rocks mm-hmm. in, and I polish them up, and then I kind of glue them in with Gorilla Glue, and they hold pretty well for a while.
And then you were getting those like sugar-free Tic Tacs for a while, and you were like, look, they don't got no sugar in them. I'm going to be just fine.
But the problem with those is that I came to, obviously, people are going to be like, yeah, no kidding. They dissolve relatively quickly
right.
as far as teeth go.
You figured that out on your 12th cup of coffee of the yeah, day.
Yeah. I do like the, sometimes I do the gum that comes in a little cube shape.
I'll ice those. Cubes?
Yeah, I'll do the ice cubes.
I have some of those right now. Should I make my teeth look like, should I put them on my teeth?
What would you put on your teeth? Would you ever put upside down candy corn as vampire fangs?
Yes, constantly.
Yeah.
By the way, welcome to Double Threat. This is the show where we have fun.
Yeah, where we talk and larf it up and have a good time. And my name is Tom.
I'm Julie, and
I do want to say, when they talk about Julie's actually doing it, look at that. Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. Some of them are pink.
Looks like you're, you're getting ready for your SNL audition. Like, this is one of your characters with big, big, big ice cube teeth. My name is Julie Klausner.
Oh, I'm going to be audition. Hold on.
You have four of them in now? And uh-huh. Now it's so funny. You went from it looking ridiculous to like, hey, your teeth look pretty good, actually. Like, what did Julie do to her teeth?
My name is Julie Klausner.
I have to say, if you smush that one edge that's hanging a little lower, that actually, you'll actually have a nice set. Yeah, that's, oh my God, your teeth are actually, I would just be like, oh, did you just have your teeth whitened?
Yeah, do you like
that? Oh,
them?
Wow. Be like,
look like the president-elect.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, you got to show up to the inauguration like that.
I don't know.
That is, you're loaded. And you're doing your bottom row. Wow. This is. Oh, my goodness. You really are pulling off the Joe
Hi,
Biden.
Everybody. It's me, Joe Biden.
How does he not just sound always like, like that? All the time.
Now I have all this disgusting gum on. Yeah.
Now you just burned an entire container.
I could afford another thing of ice cubes.
Oh, I didn't think you couldn't afford them, but they're expensive.
They are expensive.
I screenshotted that, so listeners.
Little bastard boy!
Threat pod.
You son
you
of a bitch!
Summon a bitch! You don't
summon a bitch. Well, look. Men find me very attractive, so I'm not concerned at all.
Of course they do, because you are.
Oh, yeah. Because I think, speak, and act erotically.
What if mm-hmm. you were walking down the street and had done those gum things to be funny, right? And then suddenly you turn around and you meet literally...
like the sexiest guy in the world.
Yeah. And then he goes, hello. And then now you are forced forever to those teeth, those gum in your mouth because you're just like, he can't see my regular teeth.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like Because I would cover my mouth and like quickly get rid of them.
No,
but
no,
you're
he
saying
would
that
see
that's
it.
What he likes about
yeah,
me?
Yeah, that's what he likes about you. And now suddenly you then you
so then
go to Duane Reade and they're out of them. Or you buy the grape ones by accident and now you have like weird light purple teeth.
With specks in them?
Yeah, with specks.
Well, or I find them and then he takes me to a romantic dinner and then he's like, to us, and we toast.
Yeah.
And then I drink some champagne and then I take the champagne glass out and all the teeth are floating in the,
in the thing. Yeah.
Champagne glass.
I'm going to say, if the what? People over at Ice Cubes are looking to do branded content, I think we just wrote a short film that they would...
Well, the other thing is, if Ice Cubes wants to sponsor an episode, all three of us will have Ice Cubes for teeth the entire time.
Oh, please. That goes with, yeah, absolutely. We'll
do a regular show. We won't talk about it.
Yeah. We will not acknowledge it outside of the commercial bumpers throughout the show. Yeah. Just like today's episode brought to you by Ice Cubes.
Chili. Wow. They taste good. Hey, Tom.
Yeah. I want you. Eclipse. Because we have just mouths full of gum. What if we get double sponsors on the same? We get sponsored by Ice Cubes. And then like also we get sponsored by just like
Juicy Fruit
or
and
Big
so we
League
have,
Chew.
Like, we have to do if we do Juicy Fruit, we have to do like Walrus Tusks.
Yeah.
Or, we could make one big tongue out of like three Juicy Fruits if we glue them together with Gorilla Glue.
One big tongue.
Yeah, so we could have a flappy Juicy Fruit tongue, Ice Cubes teeth, and then Big League Chew, like what would that be? Hair? We would just put that in our hair?
I think we put it like a mustache. We do like a we
oh,
do
that's
like,
we great.
Have, like a goatee.
Do goatees?
Yeah, with Big League Chew, like we have like a
well,
purple
you guys do,
mustache.
You guys can do mustaches and beards. I'll do eyebrows.
Okay.
Because I want to feel pretty.
Sure. No, of course, and I wouldn't want you to feel any other way. I want you to be pretty inside and outside. And there's nothing better than some Big League Chew eyebrows. Will just make you feel that extra confidence.
I can't believe they still sell Big League Chew.
Yeah, because it really does. The message of it was always start with this, and then this will get you kind of. This will kind of loosen up that bottom, that little bottom lip pouch so you're ready for actual yeah. chewing tobacco.
One day you'll move from sugar to tobacco.
Yeah. Well, we got Brett on the show. He is a Georgia guy. There's no way on earth he doesn't. Did you dip, Brett, or did you know someone who dipped when you were a kid?
I had lots of friends who dipped in high school. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was very popular. I never... I can honestly say I never even tried
it.
It's
so gross.
I don't understand the appeal of it at all.
It's like, I know that like, maybe if you watch Westerns, I was just going to say in noir movies, like Barbara Stanwyck would light a cigarette and you'd be like, wow, cigarettes are really cool.
Yeah.
But at no point did Humphrey Bogart take a big fist of tobacco and put it between his gum and lip.
Yeah. I thought it was so cool to see. Yeah. To see, Burt Lancaster walking around with a Mountain Dew bottle that he could constantly spit into.
Yeah, if you literally need a spittoon for your vice of choice, that's probably a sign that it's out of date. I mean, they're literally like, you know, old prospectors walking around with like a spittoon and they're spitting into it. And
well,
it's
guess it was what baseball players did.
Yeah,
that's why. And kids looked at like, because and you guys know more about sports than I do, obviously, but like. Isn't baseball like kind of the sport for like big fat out of shape guys that like still, you know, smoke and drink every night? And like
there was a time when this one guy, John Kruk, and Brett, if you could pull up a picture of John Kruk for Julie to paint the picture for this story, he was at the airport and then some kid was just like, it's John Kruk. And then his mother was like, yeah, he's an athlete. And then he said to the two of them, he's like, well, I'm not an athlete, I'm a baseball player. Which, if you could just see what John Kruk looks like, you will get,
oh my god, he looks like what's that guy from Canada who died, Ford, Rob Ford.
He does have a Rob Ford vibe going on, yeah. But just the idea that that is like an that is a baseball. This is a professional,
right?
This guy's getting paid millions of dollars.
He's kind of cute. Actually, he's kind of cute. He's got this dad bod thing.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm not putting him down, but I'm just saying, like, when you see the way the baseball allows for a certain kind of, like, if you have a skill, like,
right,
if you can throw a baseball, that's just about the arm. And
so he just, right.
The rest is, like, up for negotiation. Like, but then you watch, like, soccer or basketball where they have to run back and forth and back and forth. There's no way this guy could play for 3 minutes in those sports.
Well, that's my question. So he just is a pitcher, so he never has to run around the bases or anything?
He was a first baseman, which minimizes. He could just stay at first base, basically. He didn't have to move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
First baseman, you just stay at first base. You keep that glove open so that somebody can throw you the ball and you get the runner out. And that's not a whole lot of movement.
But is he ever at bat?
Yeah.
So when he's at bat and he hits the ball, is he like really nervous because then he has to run to the base?
Well, he just needs to hit it. He's a big guy, so the goal is that he'll hit it far. Like he can hit will have some muscle behind it. His heft will be able to drive the ball.
And so, he's like, the longer I hit it, the slower I can walk.
Yeah. Exactly. He's not like some wiry shortstop who's hitting it in the infield and then like just outrunning the play.
Right. Well, I think it's humiliating that they make them tuck their shirts in.
Well, I think baseball in itself is humiliating because when they become managers, in other sports, when you're like a manager or a coach, you wear a suit or you wear just like, at worst in like football, you'll wear like the hoodie for the team or whatever. But baseball makes these managers dress up like they're still players and they're old men at this point. Please pull up a picture of Tommy Lasorda.
That's why, like, Tommy Lasorda was always in his uniform when he was in those Slim Fast commercials. And you're like, why is that old man doing drag?
Yeah, no, that's what it seems like. It seems like Grandpa's trick or treating with us this year and he's going as a guy from the San Diego Padres.
Hey, everybody, this is the B-Man, old BW from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show.
It's showtime.
By the way, Judy Tenuta had a very strange act. Like, how would you, I was trying to describe her to someone and I was like, well, she wore an accordion and then she called men pigs and then she had like kind of a funny voice, but I can't really tell you what her game was.
I guess it was very 80s.
Yeah. But it was like, yeah.
Like just in terms of like the, there was like a strange kind of like slightly surreal quality to things and a slightly abrasive quality to it at the same time.
Yes. Yes.
And it was a character, which like,
right.
You don't see a whole lot of people just doing characters now. Back then, everybody did a character.
Oh, good. Let's watch some of Judy Tenuta on stage.
Hey, pig! Let's party! Oh, when I think about you, I touch myself. Of panty shields. That's right. You better buckle up, stud
this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's like, first of all, it's so much edgier, and not edgy in a way that it's like, but it just in terms of just the aggressive weirdness. I forgot that that's what Judy Tenuta was like.
This is insane. I
look at Tara Love Pig, baby.
So Brett has some crazy news that came in very recently about Alec Baldwin. Would you like to share what it is, Brett?
Oh my gosh, yes. So this came in, Julie, you shared this story with us just before we went to air here. And the headline is Alec Baldwin departs WNYC in defense of Woody Allen. And what happened is the episode that Alec Baldwin did of his podcast with Woody Allen, which we covered on this show, you can go back and listen to the episode on a Zoom call with Woody Allen. Apparently there was some obvious controversy that came out of that episode with his bosses over at WNYC. And as a result of doing that episode, he has parted ways with WNYC. But the big note for us here is Double Threat gets a shout out in this article. And I dare say we might have had a hand here in getting old Alec Baldwin booted off of WNYC.
No question.
So, it's pretty big headline here.
Basically, Alec Baldwin said that his, you know, overlords, his brass, the big brass, the man, mm-hmm. said, hey, if you're going to interview Woody Allen, you should ask him about sexually abusing his daughter. And he was like, no.
Absolutely
and
not.
And so now, wait, what did you say, Tom?
Absolutely not.
Pretty much.
That's my Trump impression.
I never see Trump. Alec Baldwin make that face again.
A lot of people want to do the thing. You go and I won the election. Fair one, it's in all these votes.
It's in a hole. It's in a hole.
It's in a hole. Cinderella story. Queen's real estate magnate becomes president. It's in the hole. What a Cinderella story.
Once WNYC said, we won't air the interview unless you ask these questions and force that editorial content on me like that, I knew I was out of there.
I need to protect the child.
It's like the Mandalorian. He's like Woody Allen. He's going to have Woody Allen strapped to like a baby Bjorn. He's going to run around.
I need to protect Woody. Woody needs to be protected. No one. Everybody's after him. I'll protect you, Woody. I'm the Baudelairean. I've got the child.
So, Alec Baldwin.
Can you read
now.
The yeah. part where we get a shout out? This is, by the way, in The Forward, which is a reputable Jewish newspaper.
Mm-hmm. It says at the very end here, beyond fraying Baldwin's relationship with WNYC, the Allen interview on Here's the Thing gained some notoriety as, quote, the least essential interview of 2020.
Wait. Did we call it that?
A person that reviewed our episode called it that. So okay. Yes. So, but we jump-started this conversation, I think. Yeah.
Sure.
Podcasters Julie Klausner and Tom Sharpling, hosts of the podcast Double Threat, even bestowed upon it an honor only a fellow talk show host could give, an entire episode of their own podcast devoted to a play-by-play takedown.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, The Forward. And
thank
if
you.
You're listening to this close to Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom.
Yes, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
That's what I say.
So basically, Alec Baldwin went to iHeartRadio because he... But by the way, he didn't ask Woody Allen about the sexual abuse allegations. And I know that because we listened to that whole goddamn thing.
He did so, like a little... He did like a little inserted thing that he...
At the beginning, though.
On it. Yes, he's like... And we would be remiss if we didn't, like something yeah, like
but he,
that.
But in other words, like, he won. Like, he didn't ask him, so, but he's still, like, even that they suggested it made me so mad that I'm going to go to iHeartRadio. Do you think he hearts radio?
No, I don't think he hearts radio. I know Woody Allen hearts old-timey radio.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Baby Snooks.
Shadow Baby Snooks.
those were the days when if you just had, well, those are the days I was made for. Actually, I'm in the wrong time because I could have been back then. I would have been, oh, hello. And then I would have been like super, super famous as like the guy on radio would be just like,
oh, I would have been like Fanny Bryce. I'd be like Baby Num Nums. I'd be like, gee whiz, daddy.
No, come here, Baby Num Nums.
I don't want to. Wait, now I feel baby dirty. Num-num. Now I feel.
Yeah, this feels disgusting.
I feel like it's a little like.
This is like.
This is a little.
This is uncomfortable.
This is straddling.
But it would be the kind of thing where you're just like, all I would have done would be like an outsized voice.
Yeah.
And it would have been fine. And then when TV came along, either I would have cut it or not.
We'd be on Looney Tunes.
Yeah, and then you just slide over to Looney Tunes. Next thing you know,
the
I'm
ultimate
the
thing.
I'm the guy chasing Woody Woodpecker around with an axe.
Did you like Woody Woodpecker?
No, I hated
me
Woody
neither.
Woodpecker.
He stunk.
Sucked. Which character sucked? Woody
sucked
Woodpecker
shit.
Sucked.
Woody Woodpecker sucks shit. Oh, Brett, will you open up a Wikipedia of cartoon characters and we'll tell you who sucks shit?
We're gonna go real. We're not gonna go real fast. We're actually gonna take our time.
We're gonna go really slow. Yeah. We had other things planned for the show, but
right now, yeah. All right, here we go. Here's this list. Let's see.
Bugs Bunny rules.
Bugs Bunny rules.
I
Cecil
like
Turtle.
Duck.
I hated.
I never even heard of Cecil.
He's the
Turtle.
Little one who was in a race with, right? Wasn't Cecil?
Oh
Turtle?
Yeah, he sucks shit.
He's a douche. Daffy Duck's the best.
He's cool. Elmer Fudd sucks shit.
Yeah, Foghorn Leghorn's annoying.
I like Foghorn Leghorn. I told you, I just don't know what he wants.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, he's not.
I'm
as
very.
Bad. Okay,
I'm intrigued by him. I don't. I haven't. I'm still wrapping my head around him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
see who else. Marvin the Martian was not my favorite.
He sucks shit. I hate Marvin the Martian.
You were split on Michigan J. Frog. I know that's one of your favorites.
Yeah, I know. I like him. You don't like him.
Let's see. Pepe Le Pew is terrifying.
I like. What about Penelope Pussycat? She's fine. Who cares? Petunia Pig sucks shit.
Speedy Gonzales was never my thing. Sylvester the Cat I liked.
Sylvester's fun. I like him.
Yeah.
Tweety's fine. I think Wile E. Coyote, I think the both of the, I think the Roadrunner sucks shit. I'm going to say that.
Mm-hmm. And Yosemite Sam, I think, is great.
He's fun.
When he would do that.
Imagine getting so angry that you blubber your lips. I was on hold with AppleCare for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then like someone was like, yeah, I can't, like, or like, like, I sent you to this person and this person couldn't help me. And I was like, I'm just going to be honest. I'm really frustrated. I said to them, but I could have been like,
whoa, I'm coming down there.
I'm coming down to Cupertino.
Now, when they just think about the idea when they're designing Yosemite Sam, they're just like, there's a rabbit.
Yep.
Running around.
Yeah.
And then there's a duck who's not as tall as a rabbit.
Right.
Then there's a human who's half as tall as the duck.
Yeah.
Whose hat makes huge. Up still makes up half of his height.
Still short.
He might be 1 foot two. He might be, it's like he, how small is Yosemite Sam? Like just like actually when put next to like
right.
a rabbit.
Right, like he, right.
Huh. I'm a duck.
I never thought of that. Does he want gold? What's his goal? Just to get rid of varmints?
I think he's just trying to get rid of varmints and shoot them.
All right, yeah.
He's not a hunter the way Elmer Fudd was.
Right. Brett, what else is going on?
Can I air a grievance real quick before we move on? I got a
depends on what
me.
It is, but sure.
I don't know. I mean, this might get me in trouble, but I got to call out these guys over at iHeartRadio. I don't know what they're doing over there.
Oh, I like this, Tom. I like it when Brett gets his hands dirty.
I've been
talking.
Sitting on this one for a while too, and it's just this Alec Baldwin thing is too much. I mean,
tell me.
So I mean, because they started doing. You know, lately they started creeping into our territory. They started doing these kind of alt comedy podcasts, you know. But they also got Newt Gingrich's podcast over there. They let him say whatever the hell he wants every week, talking about voter fraud bullshit and everything. And then they're letting Alec Baldwin just change teams, like essentially signing off on the Woody Allen thing by letting him come over to iHeart. So I got to say, I don't know what the hell they're doing over there. They also had a podcast award show that they put on, and they just nominated all their own shows. So, yeah.
Well, when is Forever Dog going to do its own awards?
Well, we might have to now if that's the way everything's going. I mean,
yeah.
What if it's an award show, but it's like for shittiest episode of a stupid pod, and we give it all to iHeartRadio shows? Yeah.
There we go.
Now, Brett, I agree with you completely about this iHeartRadio thing, and it's an outrage. Can you just mute yourself for 1 second, Brett?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Julie, we got to get over to iHeartRadio.
I already emailed them asked me to last week.
They got Newt Gingrich.
I know. They got Newt. They got Alec.
Alec Baldwin and Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, and I heard that Kevin Spacey's doing a show, and he's only going to talk about acting.
Yeah. Spacey, the Final Frontier.
He's going to talk about acting, and he's going to talk about the choices he makes as an actor. Nothing else.
Because look, Forever Dog is cool. We both agree.
Right.
But if we're going to get somewhere, we got to start rubbing elbows with like the Newt Gingriches of the world.
Right.
Like, what are we getting? We're hanging out with Brett.
Right.
And with
Joe
and James Adomian and Alice Wetterland. And it's like, That's all well and good, but
right.
You know,
but like, what's our piece of the pie?
Yeah, we got to get somewhere with this. We got to
get on iHeartRadio.
So, if anybody from iHeartRadio is listening to this, drop us a line and
we'll interview any sex offender, and we won't ask them anything about what they did.
Yeah, just let us on the network. All right, you can unmute us, Brett.
Oh, man. All right, cool. And guys, I just got to say, I really appreciate your support on this whole iHeart thing.
Thanks. Yeah.
I get some pull quotes from you guys, maybe. I'm probably going to put together like a Medium article about this.
And Forever Dog, forever. It's the best podcast network in the biz. Happy
forever
to be
dog?
There.
Forever Dog? Question. Forever, comma, dog.
Yeah. Forever, comma, dog, question mark. Yes.
Exclamation
point.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And I also do like when I said you can unmute yourself, that's not how muting works.
Well, logistically, I wasn't sure how that bit was playing out.
If you're muted, if you're muted, then somebody goes, unmute yourself.
Bummed that Johnny Carson wasn't around to be like,
has anybody been following the news today? Apparently Donald Trump
put children in cages.
This Dom Jr. is a real piece of work, huh?
He's not equipped for that.
Kimberly Guilfoyle.
I guess Karnak, he's like,
may your sister share a bunk bed with Eric Trump Jr. Eric Trump Jr. Oh no. Where's that nightmare coming from?
Yeah, that's like the omen, but it's the schmoman.
The schmo.
It's like a little blonde boy that's like kind of a schmo. What if he's like, tinfoil, this mortal coil. Kimberly Guilfoyle. And it's like, name three things you don't want to have in your teeth.
Play us one Karnak joke, Brett. We're going to judge it right now. One. First one that comes up, we judge Karnak.
All right, here we go. Let's see what it is.
Ed McMahon is psyched to have a bit.
Are you all right, Osage? Welcome, welcome, welcome.
May eternal bliss fill your clothing.
Thank you. Something is. I have in my hands the envelopes. Can you see them?
I know this sand blows into your eyes on the desert. A child of four could plainly see these envelopes are hermetically sealed. They've been kept in a mayonnaise jar in Funkenwaggle's porch since noon today. No one knows the contents
not
of these
even
envelopes.
A, not even
you.
A titter on that.
And your mystical and borderline divine way will ascertain the answers, having never before seen the question. Is that about it?
Are you done? Yes, of course.
Envelope number one.
Silence, please.
Hermetically sealed.
I will divine the answer.
Funkenwaggle's porch.
That's funny.
Since noon today. But you.
Can we get on with this? Carnac, a chance. A condor, a bald eagle, and a snail darter.
A condor, a bald eagle, and a snail darter.
Name three things less endangered than Tip O'Neill.
What does that even mean? Turn it off, Brett. Turn it off.
Yeah,
turn it off.
Sucks.
Can you report that to YouTube? Is it like offensive or something? Is there like a button you can press,
Brett,
to be
please,
like,
we're gonna
report?
Ask you,
yeah, I might need some explanation here, but let me report it real quick.
I was offended. Just say I was offended.
All right, we got here. Let me show you the options we got for reporting.
Yeah. Hateful. Yeah. Harmful. All the above. Sexual content, violent or repulsive content, hateful or abusive content. You're clicking hateful or abusive content, and you're clicking what?
Yeah, I thought it promoted hatred or violence.
I think it's sexual.
Okay, you think it's sexual? Okay.
Yeah. Sexual, choose one. Graphic sexual activity, nudity, I would say suggestive, but without nudity.
Yes, that's good.
Okay, and then what?
You could say spam or misleading. It was supposed to be funny. Oh, no, you can only do one.
Oh, do one. Okay, then okay, sexual content is suggestive, but without nudity. Okay, great.
All right, we're going to need some additional
time
details.
Timestamp 135. Absolute 135. And just write, like, I'm scandalized.
And,
exclamation point.
Yeah, exclamation point.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a... dash scared. I'm scandalized and I'm scared.
That was good. All right, send that into YouTube.
No, just one more thing. Take this down now. There it is. Great. Now report.
Good job. Should we read the comments real quick before we do?
Let's see if we can guess the comments. Somebody's going to say, this is how comedy used to be, and it was great.
Right, like Johnny's the best of all time.
Yeah, yep.
The joke writer who came up with the sis boom ba line deserved an Emmy.
Jimmy Fallon couldn't shine these guys' shoes. Well, not without instructions.
And that is from a user named Joseph Mengele.
Jesus. Oh my God. That's
kind of the most important part of that comment, I think.
That's horrifying. So somebody's so true. Nobody's just like, hey, you sure about this Joseph Mengele handle you're going with
there? If Joseph Mengele were alive, and I'm glad he's not, let me get that out there. Mm-hmm. Do you really think he'd be like online defending Jimmy Fallon? Maybe he would.
I think he'd be on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, man. Wow. Joseph Mengele. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so awesome. Oh, we got Joseph Mengele.
Oh, Joseph
We're going to be
Mengele's
doing
like
beer pong
so
with Joseph Mengele
like,
later.
You did stuff that was like no one ever done before. Why? Well, I was interested to see what would happen to the Jews.
That's so awesome. This is brought to you by Toyota Camry.
Well... do we have anything else to do on the show, Brett? Yeah, I think
maybe our best episode yet.
Do we have anything that you want us to watch?
Yeah, I mean, I got clips galore for you.
Give us a good one, Brett.
All right. Well, let me kick you off with this video that's been making the rounds the past 24 hours. I believe, Julie, you've seen this. Tom, you have not. So this is basically a montage of clips from a talk show that was on local access TV in Lincoln, Nebraska in the 80s. And it was hosted by a woman named Lita Powell Drake. It was her show. And she would interview celebrities making the rounds to promote their movies and whatnot and TV shows. She would interview them for local access TV in Lincoln, Nebraska. And here's a montage of clips of her interviewing celebrities.
Let's let her rip this morning. You got to work with Burton, Richard Burton, yes. In The Tempest.
Yes, I did.
And now he's dead.
Yes.
Do you know who his dad is?
So
his
Jiminy
dad,
Clark.
You watch Bonanza. I'm sure you watch the reruns of Bonanza. Was the sheriff on Bonanza? Bing Russell. Is he still alive, Kurt? You've done some brilliant pictures. You've done some stinkers.
Really?
What happened to Bosom Buddies?
We were canceled.
Did you see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I did. It's a wonderful movie.
Do you know that he turned down the role of Indiana? I heard that you turned down the role, that you were offered the role.
I wouldn't turn it down.
Do you have any regrets about not going into the series for MASH?
No.
No? They've all made a fortune, Elliot. Then that little movie you did with him, Wild River, what was one
Can
of his few
pause
flops.
Real quick. This is a rapid fire cut. She's talking to Elliot Gould, Peter Scolari, who else? Tom Selleck. And every question is the one thing they all have in common is they all look truly taken aback by how blunt.
She's amazing.
These questions
She's perfect.
Are.
I have no notes.
So this is Tim Curry now.
He looks evil in many ways. Can the camera come in and take a close up? Look at these eyes. Have you ever seen eyes like this? If you look at them real closely, what do you see? Look. Do you see that ring around the outer edge of the eye? What is that?
I don't know. It's an old family trait. My father had those. It's a ring around my moon.
Well, it makes a most fascinating look. You really look terrific.
Thank you.
Are you into yoga or exercising?
No, I exercise.
Right? You might just whip one out.
I might just whip one out. And there I am.
Listen. You don't know to whom you are speaking because you and I go back a few years. Tom, how do you kiss underwater without bubbles coming out of your nose and mouth? Let me ask you, how would you feel as a mother if your daughter were involved with your former love? Personally, how would you react to something like that? You don't consider yourself a great actor, do you?
And they went into an Eric Andre. Oh my God. She said to Elliot Gould, "You don't consider yourself a great actor, dude." And he broke out a truly taken aback react. That was the most authentic thing I've ever seen.
She's the best.
That is it. Why don't we start doing that on the show? We should just have, like, as a character, suddenly, like, oh, here comes
Jom and Tooley.
Yeah, Jom and Tooley, and they ask the real questions, and then we just it'll be like our equivalent of like the ventriloquist dummy, like, now, don't you can't talk to our
now,
guests
now,
that
Jom.
Way. Yeah, Jom, you can't talk to the guests that way. They're a very talented guest.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to know if you
regret.
You're not very good, are you?
You're not a very good actor, are you?
Yeah.
She's flawless. I have no notes. She's
perfect.
A legend in the making. I'm so glad that we now know of her.
Yes.
What else have you got, Brett?
Well, you guys heard of a fast food chain that was briefly around in the 70s or 80s called Mr. Delicious?
No.
All right. So let me get the explanation for this real quick. So this was submitted to us by listener Ian. And Ian said that there was a regional fast food chain in Ohio. The fast food chain was actually called Rax, but they had their signature character, their Ronald McDonald, was a guy named Mr. Delicious. And their whole thing was that they were doing like fast food for adults. And so,
interesting.
And so Mr. Delicious was like the adult version of, a fast food character.
Yeah. This doesn't seem to be flawed.
Yeah. Cause grownups want, you know, they don't want to be talked down to by a Ronald McDonald. They want like a Mr. Delicious or like a Mrs.
I feel
Delicious
like Brett has the screen. It's a black YouTube screen. I feel like I'm about to change when I see that, like, I will not be the same as I was. Like, this is the final seconds of me being like this, and then after seeing Mr. Delicious, I will never be the same.
He gives me chills.
I'm digging him.
It's like a a Tarantino movie.
Well, Mr. Delicious is the new spokesperson for Rax. Given we're an adult fast food place, we thought we wanted an adult character and person to be talking to our customers. Mr. Delicious shares the same kind of problems and difficulties we do and casts them in a humorous and enjoyable light.
Hello, I'm Mr. Delicious, the new spokesman for Rax Restaurants. My job? To encourage you to enjoy tasty, affordable meals in a more mature dining environment. I know what you're thinking. He's a cartoon. And cartoons are mostly for people who wet their pants. But not Mr. D.
Can you hit pause, pause real quick? This guy, first of all, Mr. Delicious, it doesn't look like what I thought he would look like. This looks like, he looks like Phil Silvers. Like he's, if he's an insurance salesman, just like a plaid jacket.
Biggest hips in the world.
Receding hairline, horn-rimmed glasses.
Also, when he says, I know what you're thinking, he does not know what I'm thinking.
I know what you're thinking. Cartoons are usually for
people who wet their pants.
He's so mad also, at the industry.
Why would you say that in an ad for food?
Yeah. First of all, Mr. Delicious, he's walking. He's an animated Mr. Delicious walking through like a filmed real world shot here, which... Dimension-wise, it's the opposite of Yosemite Sam. This guy's 40 feet high.
He's a special cartoon for adults. And Mr. Delicious always carries this briefcase. Contents? Watch for me and visit Rax. Dickety-dee.
Dickety-dee.
Mr. Delicious is a controversial character.
What?
But controversy attracts attention. And for every bad reaction we get from Mr. Delicious, we get hundreds of positive ones.
Well, I usually don't like spokesmen, but I like Mr. D.
I don't know if everybody understands him, but I think everybody likes him.
I like his line about he's not just for the people that wet their pants anymore.
This is like,
I like that part.
This sounds like the way people talked when they were considering Trump for president. Like, like he's different. He's a little different. We haven't seen his like before. It's worth giving him a shot.
The one characteristic of Mr. Delicious that will enable him to cut through is that Mr. Delicious speaks honestly to the kinds of problems and issues that we all face. Nobody else out there is doing that.
Mr. Delicious recommends some twisty fries after therapy.
Because now they're just showing like little stills.
Mr. Delicious appreciates the Rack's value menu ever since his ex-wife took him to the cleaners.
Mr. Delicious is, granted, very different from any spokesperson I've ever seen.
This guy's a little too proud of this Mr. Delicious thing, too.
And with the support of our employees, I think Mr. Delicious is going to make a real difference.
It's like an outtake from Halt and Catch Fire or something. It's like there's an old computer in the background. This guy's got the most 1980 hair and wireframe glasses.
Does his tie say Rax on it?
I think it does. Mr. Delicious.
Going to go down as one of the classic characters in advertising history.
Hello there, I'm Mr. Delicious. Did you know the value menu at Rax features lots of adult-sized delectables for only 99 cents? That's right, and that's fortunate.
He touches his mouth.
You see, Mr. Delicious is, well, a little overextended. Perhaps the Rax executives aren't paying him enough to compromise his integrity. On the other hand, you can't eat integrity, but you certainly can eat a hearty roast beef sandwich for 99 cents.
Hit Paul, please.
Dickity D. What's in a roast beef sandwich that costs 99 cents? Mrs. Delicious. My cunt wife was giving me grief, so I cut up her body and I bought a meat grinder. And anyway,
welcome
Dickity D.
99 cents. This is depressing. That's what the D stands for.
Well, you know, usually I go to the can during the commercials, but now that Mr. D's on, I'll just hold it.
I usually don't order fries, but Mr. Delicious made me think I really should have them today.
I want to grow just to be like Mr. Delicious.
After we were signed to Rax Business, we went out to the stores. We spent 3 days on the road with the marketing folks at Rax.
No.
We talked to the customers.
I usually take a shit during the commercials on the can.
Yeah. I usually got to go to the can during commercials.
Go to the can.
Because when Mr. Delicious comes on, I hang around and check it out.
I go to the can in my pants.
I just wet myself. I usually go to the can during commercials.
Then Mr. Delicious comes on, I think. Not now, can.
There's this certain type of like grossness that is like G-rated ugliness where it's like, it's like the way like the dating game or like the newlywed game, you'd be like,
right,
that's more upsetting than anybody just coming on and saying like obscene
talking about sex,
things.
Yeah. Like openly, like that show Studs.
Yeah.
Well, look at all these like ad executives thinking that they just, you know, reinvented the wheel.
Yeah. Because they decided to have a guy that looks
this
like
waddling, this waddling like cartoon that looks like it's from the 1930s, where it's like, here's a light bulb.
Yeah.
Would you like to know how to use it?
Yeah. So you've heard about
electricity.
And I'm sure you've got a lot of questions.
You see, Mr. Delicious doesn't appreciate unnecessary commotion while he's eating. It brings out the dangerous, hostile side in Mr. D. At least that's what his analyst says. Anyway, at Rax, Mr. Delicious can enjoy a tasty sandwich or salad without bright yellow formica upsetting his stomach. He can rest his feet on carpet,
Mr. Delicious,
since Rax has confidence that Mr. D won't drop his twisty fries.
My analyst knows about my violent side. And it comes out if I'm eating in a place where the lights are too bright. Like, boy, you're truly troubled.
My parole officer knows that if I'm around children, it's illegal.
This old thing Mr. Delicious has strapped on his ankle is going to go off if I
if I go somewhere else for twisty fries.
If I leave this Rax.
Diddle-dee-dee.
I have to stay on the premises of a Rax. That's what the judge said.
How can we help Mr. Delicious? These are all intuitive questions that they're a step ahead of me. I was just going to ask, how could we help Mr. Delicious?
It's not easy being a cartoon spokesman. We can help Mr. D by putting up the POP and getting behind him. The guy needs some help. He's just a little guy.
What is he talking about?
You know, and I know he's got some controversial side to him.
All right.
But I think we can have a lot of fun with
Brett, him. Now what I need you to find out is, when did Rax go out of business? Because this has to be right on the heels of this character.
How is he? I like that these guys are like, he's pretty controversial.
All right. So Rax, believe it or not, there are still some Raxes in Ohio. But this line here says, once a major player in the fast food industry, Rax has extensively scaled down its operations since its peak in the 1980s.
So, yeah.
Well, God bless you, Rax. You're still hanging in there.
Oh, wait, here we go. Here's what you're looking for. So the deadpan Mr. D ad campaign backfired, causing the exit of the marketing team. This along with compounding loan payments forced the company to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
I would have bet everything I had on that one.
So all that those assholes that were gacked out to the nines in that video, you know, throwing their weight around, were all canned.
Yeah. Now, when Mr. D bankrupted the company, basically, well, you know what's inside this briefcase I've been carrying? A gun.
And then he puts it in his own mouth.
Yeah. Welcome to 1980. You got a fun thing, Brett, that could change. This Rax thing put me in a bad mood now.
Oh yeah, I got a great thing for you next. This is there's a guy on YouTube we were alerted to by a listener, Sean, and this guy is called the Raccoon Whisperer, and let me just play this clip for you, and you can kind of see what's going on here.
The clip is called Mobbed by Raccoons. Tuesday night. Election night. This is an election night video.
No!
Okay, it's 10 to 7. And I got a bucket of grapes. I'm going to throw that whole bucket up because I can't get out.
He's looking through his door. You can see through the glass on his door. You see, it looks like
at least
a half dozen raccoons out there.
Which, the sight of this, I would have just called 911, but this guy's walking towards them with grapes, and the grapes aren't even on the stems.
No.
They're just loose grapes.
Yeah. So,
and by the way, if you look at the door, it looks like there has been some like scraping to get out. At one point, someone's like had to push because the other side was locked.
This is going to be fun now.
Right, here, oh my god! Here, here, oh my god!
Here, here. Come on! Ah! Come on! Watch your toes. Ah! Watch your toes.
Okay, he's outside now. We can't see him.
Oh my god, the last thing we saw of him was a raccoon hand on his leg.
Yeah.
I'm not even try to count them. Okay, I'm gonna go over there.
So there's 18 of the most well-fed raccoons you've ever seen in your life on his deck.
I'm gonna have a heart attack.
They're on his deck and they are going off.
And they're like a rat king, but for raccoons. And there's a park bench none of them are sitting on.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear. Let's
see. So they, they take care of those grapes pretty quickly. And now the raccoon whisperer has a box of hot dog links.
Shut up.
That he's bringing out for a second course.
All right,
guys, come on. Let's go. You ready? Ow! I'm going to sit in the snow covered bench. Holy smokes. Oh my god. Yes.
He's sitting down.
Yes.
Holding a Tupperware tub full of hot dogs.
No.
All raccoons.
Giving them all hot dogs.
Let's go. Oh my god. This is crazy. This is crazy. You know, there's got to be 30 raccoons at least. I don't know where they all come from. Oh my god. Yeah, they all
love
me.
Every raccoon gets a hot dog.
And they keep holding their hands out, their little raccoon hands.
And they take the hot dog with their hands.
Yeah. Here you go. Ready? Here you go.
And lo and behold, he actually handed out so many hot dogs that the raccoons were just like, yeah, I'm good. Like, you think like
they're
raccoons
all working
will keep
on their hot dogs. He gave everyone an individual hot dog.
But there were like raccoons that like finished the hot dog and then like walked away. They didn't try to get another one. He still got so many hot dogs.
It's like when you're going to Halloween and someone gives you a king size Snickers. You're not going to knock on their door right away.
I'll tell you one thing, though.
Wait, don't go ahead, Brett. Don't jump ahead. I think we need to watch this thing like chronologically.
Imagine this guy. This is the worst case scenario. This guy with his raccoons and his 8 pounds of hot dogs. He throws his back out. Hits like a stretch where he just needs to be laid up for a couple days. These raccoons. Where are the hot dogs? Where's hot dog, man?
You know what next looks like hot dogs are your limbs.
Next thing you know, that window smashed open. 30 raccoons feasting. Oh, come on, guys. My back. I'm late. Just give me a couple days off. I threw my back out.
Well, I found 5 hot dogs at the end of this big hot dog. Yeah. And they eat his arm and fingers.
Yeah. And they're just chomping down on him. Guys, I'm not a hot dog. Ah!
Please continue this insane video. And by the way, this was filmed on election night.
Yes.
Imagine like Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid are like spinning out when they find out it's not a landslide. And meanwhile, this guy's like, they took care of that bucket of grapes right quick. Good thing I got all these hot dogs.
I'll tell you what was a landslide, the way the raccoons wiped out that bucket of hot dogs I had. Those are some definite. There was no undecided voting going on when it came to my 8 pounds of hot dogs and these raccoons.
Please continue. There's 2 on his shoulders.
Ooh, things have settled down finally. Holy smokes! Yeah.
I mean, these raccoons are huge.
Yeah, they're they're really, really super hungry because of the cold. And it's -6 here right now, Celsius.
Ah, that's the biggest one I've ever seen.
There we go. So they...
look at him holding the hot dog.
We're going to have a big snow again tonight. Traffic is... the two bridges are closed in Halifax because of accidents.
He's a Canadian.
And, that's bad news, though. You know what that is? The roads are closed. The bridges are closed. These raccoons, nobody can save them when the raccoons start attacking. It's like a bad action movie.
It's like both. The first act. Like, well, the roads are closed, but it's a good thing I'm not going to trip on any ice.
Whoa. And then suddenly it's like, oh, no, these raccoons are hungrier than ever. And I can't get no more food brought in because two bridges are closed because of the snow.
Oh, my God. This is
holy smokes. I bought 20 pounds of hot dogs today at Walmart. Look at this. Holy smokes. Everybody's starving. See, it's nature.
Imagine him at the checkout counter talking all about these hot dogs I bought are not for humans. They're actually for raccoons. And they're just like.
That'll be $5.77.
Yeah, it's a raccoon guy again.
Cash or credit or debit, sir. Just press enter.
Yeah.
You need my PIN? No, just press enter. Are you sure?
Did you get my membership number on there? Do I put my phone number in?
Yes. No, we know who you are.
Crazy.
By the way, the idea that this guy's the raccoon whisperer is a joke. This guy is the guy who feeds raccoons hot dogs.
Take it easy.
There's no like special quality this guy has to get through to raccoons. Here.
How do you do it? We're here. Hit pause for a second. How? We're here with James Blackwood, known as the Raccoon Whisperer. James, you seem to have a real relationship with the raccoons and you.
Sure. Oh, holy smokes. I sure do.
Let me ask you a question. How do you do it? How do you get this connection going with the raccoons?
Hot dogs and grapes, mostly.
But how do you get it so that the raccoons come up to you and eat the hot dogs?
I give them the hot dogs, eh?
I
get a bucket of hot dogs, eh? And I feed them. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
They eat them. I feed them. They eat them. Is there another course, Brett? Because we're only 5 minutes into this 25-minute video.
Still working on the last of the hot dogs here.
All right, now he's gone, which makes me worried. There's just here a shot of him. Okay, now he's back. Okay.
Looks like he's back with another tub of hot dogs.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
All right, you ready? Wait, let's sit down. Wait.
Oh, no. Okay. They're all grabbing at him like in a horror movie.
Wait.
No. And he's wearing a little wearing a raccoon ski cap.
Oh, my God.
You like my new hat? I just got that in the mail today. It's crocheted raccoon hat. Here! Oh my God, they're ripping my coat and everything. Here. Talk about overwhelmed with raccoons. Yeah.
Like that's an expression. I'm overwhelmed by raccoons. Yeah. Talk about overwhelmed by raccoons.
Like they always say.
Here.
Here.
This guy.
You like my hat? It's crocheted. It's a raccoon.
This guy. This raccoon whisperer. All right, move it. Can you move ahead? I want to see what else. Hold the shot. Look at the raccoon looking right at the camera in the shot we have. Brett, you got to take a screenshot of that raccoon. Look at that guy. He is looking right down the barrel. There's a raccoon. That is the funniest thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, they're clawing at my coat.
Yep. I guess you better go inside and get more hot dogs. Well, guys, we're out of hot dogs.
13-minute mark, he comes back out with more. What does he got now?
Is it just hot dogs?
I know, this looks like maybe something else.
Okay.
From Amazon. No, you can't have that. Get your own cookies. Get. It's from Mark H. Ratcliffe.
He's just opening his mail now.
It's Amazon. And it's a, remote control outdoor outlet switch. Okay.
So he's just opening mail in front of the raccoons now.
And the raccoons were like, give me that.
It looked, up,
this guy's yeah, this guy's just opening mail in front of the raccoons.
What? Do you want to see what it is? Look.
No, you we want to eat more hot dogs.
Don't show them.
Look.
Usually give us hot dogs.
It's a thing to keep you guys in lights. No, you can't eat it. Get.
All it's right. a thing to keep you guys
time
in lights.
Dry food now. Yes, I know. You're such a good boy. Aren't you? Come here. He's a good babe.
Record tried to bite him.
Finger.
Don't you yeah. bite my
oh,
finger.
I grab your reef of the bomb. I grab your reef of the bomb. Look. Yes, all he is.
The relationship he has with the raccoons
anyway, used to me now.
Is so troubling. He finishes giving him hot dogs.
And then he comes out and opens his mail.
He opens his mail, and then a raccoon, he pulls his hand out like, you guys, and one tries to immediately bite his hand. And then they're growling at him. Like,
oh no, that poor cat. I don't want to know what happened.
Like, he doesn't realize this is such a tenuous relationship. These raccoons are a thread away from just turning on him.
They're also huge.
Huge. These raccoons must each weigh 35 pounds.
I mean, they look like they weigh as much as like a medium-sized dog.
Yes, they are like inflated. They are like round. And he at one point has 30 of them hovering around him.
Can we just see if he comes out with something else?
I got a spread of that.
Spread some pouring out now?
Dog food and crackers?
You know what I noticed last night? I noticed last night that they were underneath the deck eating the stuff that fell through the cracks. All right.
I don't know how that's exactly a shocking revelation.
Oh, I had to chase him all the time. So
they're,
all right.
They're eating all like right, Ritz crackers around. And...
Mr. Connor.
And kibble.
You know what?
Oh, that cat. Oh,
we've got a couple
you
cats
know what? You
inside.
Took my new chair.
Oh, he's yelling at the cats because he likes the raccoons and he hates his cats.
And you take it and sleep in it all night. Yeah. And I got to go sit in the other one. You know
look,
that?
I'm going to say this. Hit pause for a second. This guy's actually saying to the cat, you took my chair, so I went and got another chair. You, as the both of you, Brett and Julie, as cat owners, if you find yourself where there's a chair or something you like to sit on and your cat is on it, do you just go like, well, I guess I better go pick another chair out? Brett?
Look, there are definitely moments like that. It's a constant battle, but you gotta maintain your I think you gotta maintain your side of things. You gotta stay strong.
I agree with Brett. There, I would be lying to say there's no like, you know, empathizing here that I'm seeing with this guy, aka me,
very,
in like 2 years.
Very relatable.
But I will say these cats are pretty thin because and the raccoons are like.
Yeah.
The size of like
yeah.
beach no, balls.
No food tonight for us, guys. Wish I had better news for us.
You can sit on my chair though.
Maybe we could just kind of imagine food inside. Well, I got to go back out. The raccoons are hungry.
They want dessert. They want dessert.
They want hot dogs for dessert. You got to get another 10 pounds of hot dogs for them. They just finished up the last one 4 minutes ago. Don't worry, guys. Someday we'll start eating good again. Oh, I would go to the store and get stuff, but one of the raccoons drove off in my truck. Come on, guys. Don't take my keys. All right. You can go. But just go. Be careful, huh? Be careful with my truck. Oh, you drove it. You drove it into the creek. Oh, that's
oh,
fine.
Geez.
Oh, geez,
all right, now
guys.
I got to get another truck at Walmart.
These raccoons. Oh, these guys are crazy. I love this. This was perfect.
This is the best. This is the best. Who sent this in? Sean? Thank you, Sean.
This
thank
was from you. Listener Sean. Yeah, Sean. Thanks,
thank
Sean.
Thank you, Sean. And thank you amazing. To everybody. Thanks to everybody who looks out for us and finds funny, weird, strange, infuriating, enlightening clips.
Weird,
and
wild
them.
Stuff.
We've got an exciting show for you tonight. The Raccoon Whisperer, James Blackwood, is on the show. Now, James, you brought...
Oh, no! Look at all these raccoons!
You brought some of your raccoons with us tonight.
Yeah, because I also brought them hot dogs, eh?
Johnny, they like hot dogs. You'll never believe... If I told you I had a tub full of hot dogs, do you think these raccoons would eat it or not? You guess. You're never going to guess in a million years.
I bet they would. I bet they would.
Wait, that is what you guess? Because that's what they do. I thought you were going to say they wouldn't because they don't eat. It's kind of like I'm at the ball game with the raccoon. Like I'm selling hot dogs at the ball game and they're all little customers at the game.
Sometimes I'm like, hot dogs, get your hot dogs.
And then they get them. There's the one day he knows when things have changed, when one of the raccoons wants like a hot dog, when he asks for mustard, when a raccoon is like, you got any mustard? They're starting to evolve. They want mustard and relish now. And one.
There's no buns. All these raccoons yeah. are, there's no buns. This guy's just giving them plain.
Well, what is that, like a keto diet or something?
Yeah, all the raccoons are on keto. It's not working. They are the largest animals I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that was a fun episode.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And please send us more stuff that we can talk about in future episodes. And follow us on all the social media at Forever Dog. What is it, Brett?
At Double Threat Pod. But you can also follow Forever Dog Team if you want to. Find out about the network and some of our other shows as well.
He hypnotized me into doing all Forever Dog all the time.
Rate us and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts and tell your friends about Double Threat. And we got some good shows coming up in the pipeline. So keep listening. And thanks to Mike Kroll for the theme and Michael Kupperman for the artwork. And
we'll be back next week with more fun things.
We will. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.